welcome to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. I'm Susie Pollock, the founder of Pretty Deadly Self-Defense, a self-defense program for women I developed based on my experiences as a violent crime survivor and my 24 years of training in the Japanese art of jiu-jitsu. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the epidemic of sucker punches that women have been experiencing in New York City this spring. If you've been with us for a while, you know that every year we lead a horror film self-defense workshop for Final Girls Berlin Film Fest. That always comes out sounding wrong. Anyway, this year, we've been invited to the fair city of Cologne to lead a workshop for the International Frauen Film Fest, Germany's largest forum for women in the film industry, and presenting outstanding films by women spanning all genres and styles. We're also participating in a panel discussion with Sarah, one of the founders of Final Girls, about female rage. So our workshop was inspired by slasher films as an expression of female rage. Join us from April 16th to the 21st for powerful cinema, brilliant discussions, and fabulous workshops in Cologne. Sign up at frauenfilmfest.com. Back to our episode. So, some male residents of the city of New York apparently decided to celebrate Women's History Month last month by sucker punching random women on the sidewalk in the middle of the day, mostly in the head, and more often than not, in the face. At the time of this recording, so far about 10 women have come forward, mostly on TikTok, to recount the assaults they suffered. One woman's jaw was broken, another woman lost 3 teeth. All of the women have shown violent bruising, and of course they're all very shaken up and some of them are angry. So what is going on? But first, what is a sucker punch? Let's define it. According to Merriam-Webster, the meaning of sucker punch is to punch a person suddenly without warning and often without apparent provocation. This came up in a self-defense class a few weeks prior to these reports of women getting punched started coming out. And what came up in the class was how do you defend against a sucker punch? I was explaining to the group what a sucker punch was. This is a class in Germany, so I think a lot of people weren't really sure of the term itself. One of the people in the class said, well, that seems like a very unlikely thing to happen to us as women. And I want to put a pin in that and come back to that because that's a really important thing to take into consideration. What is likely and unlikely to happen? But going back to a sucker punch. So the whole point of a sucker punch is that you don't see it coming. It's very difficult to defend against something that you don't see coming. Some of the cases of assault in New York were people running up behind or coming from the side. So it could be really difficult for people to even tell that this was going to happen at all. But as I was reading about this and the prevalence of it, I was beginning to wonder if this epidemic of men punching women in the face randomly is an escalation from spitting. Believe it or not, spitting on women has been a thing for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. Literally just strange men spitting on women out of anger, out of frustration, out of whatever it is, but just spitting on women. And now I do know that there are lots of cases in more recent history of women also spitting on men and other people, but it has been a thing of men spitting on women in public places for hundreds and hundreds of years. Some of that has to do with men's belief that they own public spaces. And of course, spitting on someone can be very disrespectful or a sign of disrespect. There's a lot of psychology. There's quite a few studies done on it. And I have also been spit on by a stranger. So here's what I experienced. This is when I was living in Paris. I was going to the grocery store to get a frozen pizza, I think. One of my brothers was visiting me and my nephew was visiting me. So I was running out just to get us something to eat for dinner. And as I was walking back to my apartment, I saw this man coming towards me on the sidewalk. He was familiar to me, one of the local kind of drunks. It was never really very clear whether he was actually homeless or he just spent a lot of time being drunk in the street. I wasn't really sure which. I never had any interactions with him. I just knew that he hung around the area where I lived. I saw him stumbling towards me. He was angry, and I picked up that he was going to express that anger on me in some way. And I did think to myself, I should cross the street, but then I thought that's going to make him angrier. And again, this is my own teaching in self-defense courses, where usually I tell people, if you have a thought like that, if I cross the street, it's going to make them angrier, listen to that, because that's probably correct. You're probably picking up some kind of data, maybe on a subconscious level, that is confirming that. That's your self-defense system working for you. As I got close to the man, or as we approached each other, sure enough, once I was in range, he turned around and just hawked a big old wad of spit right on me. Not in my face, I don't think. I can't remember now, but it was definitely on the front of me. I knew it was coming. I knew there was nothing I could do to stop it. He went on his way and I went on mine, and it was extremely upsetting. And I held it together until I got to my front door. And then as soon as I walked into my apartment, I broke down in tears, because it's a really violent thing to have happen. And it was really disgusting. And it was just shocking and surprising. So getting spit on is not the same as getting punched in the face. But my point that I'm trying to make is that it's kind of the same spirit, or in the same vein of expressing frustration or anger on a woman's body, and that being okay somehow. Because men are often socialized to believe that that is an okay expression of their frustration or anger. Let's go back to sucker punching, though. So that being said, can you always tell if someone is targeting you? Well, if someone is walking directly towards you and you happen to notice an anomalous thought, or like, that guy looks dangerous, or you happen to notice a thought that says, if I cross the street, it's going to make it worse, then yes, you can tell that someone has probably targeted you for some kind of violence. Is there anything you can do to defend against it? Yes, if your timing is correct, if you have your wits about you, you can quickly lift up your bag or your purse to cover your face. You can turn away to make it more difficult for them to reach you. It can be really hard to know what they're going to do. It can also be really hard to believe that this person is going to do anything to you at all, because why? And I'm going to come back to that in a second too. But the thing is that you can't always tell if someone has targeted you. So again, some of the accounts that I read of the or watched of women who were sucker punched in New York, the guy ran up behind them and punched them in the back of the head. Or I watched the CCTV video of one of the attacks that took place in Brooklyn, and the victim was the woman whose jaw was broken. She's walking down the sidewalk, she's looking straight ahead. On the CCTV footage, you can kind of see a bit of the guy standing close to maybe a building or something. As she approaches, she turns her head away from him, looking at something on the busy street to her right. And just as she turns her head, the guy steps away from the building into her, kind of up to her, coming in from the side, which means that when he's doing that, that would be in her blind spot, and he punches her. There's no way she could have seen that coming. And you can't accuse her of not paying attention. She wasn't looking at her phone. She didn't have headphones on. Maybe she was paying attention to a loud noise that she heard in the street. I don't know. But she was paying attention to her surroundings. However, we don't have 360-degree vision or attention, for that matter. On the other hand, she may also have turned her head away instinctively, sensing that there might be something off about this guy and figuring, I don't want to make eye contact. It's impossible for us to know whether turning our head away to not make eye contact is the thing that actually sets somebody off when someone is already committed to violence. What it kind of boils down to is there's nothing you can do to stop another person's decision to commit violence. It's not up to the person who receives that violence. It's never their responsibility. And that's has nothing to do with the victim blaming. It just has to, or not victim blaming. It just has to do with an understanding of only one person makes a decision. again, I'm going to relate a story from my own life that's less violent, but that I think illustrates what I'm talking about. I was coming out of my building here in Berlin, wheeling my bike out of our heavy street doors onto the sidewalk. And as I was doing that, a guy happened to be walking right across the entryway at the same time. He wasn't a guy who lived here. He was just, you know, part of the pedestrian traffic on the sidewalk. I stopped my bike from bumping into him, which was pretty easy to do. And it wasn't really that much of a threat to him, meaning I stopped my bike probably with about a foot in between us. But before I even came to a full stop, he immediately turned and shoved the finger into my face, his middle finger. And I thought, wow, that was like prepared. I mean, that was some kind of reaction, man. That was so fast and so ready that that guy's just prepared to react that way all the time. Maybe only to women, maybe to absolutely everybody. I don't know. But my point is that that man made a decision somewhere in his life that that's how he would always react, at least on that one day. And that would be true of these people who are sucker punching women in the face, as well as people who spit on women, as well as anybody who does any violence to anyone else. Someone made a decision somewhere that had nothing to do with you that they were going to do violence in whatever form that day. So how do you defend against a sucker punch? Well, you can't stop it. But what you can do is change how you respond. It's very difficult to overcome the trauma of a sudden assault. And I want to put this in the same context of getting hit by a car, because that's also traumatic. That can cause physical damage to us. That can cause emotional and psychological trauma to us. But it is basically in the same category as getting sucker punched. When you get hit by a car, one assumes it wasn't on purpose. It was an accident. When you are sucker punched or spit on by a stranger, obviously, that's no accident. That is on purpose, and that's what makes it worse. However, one of the things that we can do to change our response is to understand that it's not you. It's very hard to decenter ourselves from that story, because centering ourselves in the story helps us feel like we have a sense of control, which helps us manage the trauma that we're experiencing. However, one of the quickest ways to let go of that trauma, and let go of trauma is not really the phrase that I want. One of the quickest ways to work through the trauma and get to a new phase of kind of incorporating this as now a part of your life story is to understand that you as a human individual were not taken into consideration. It's a random act of violence, a truly random act of violence, and you just happen to be in the way of somebody's fist at the time they were swinging. You're targeted because you're a woman. It wouldn't really matter what woman was in front of that person when they chose to do that act. The back of the head punch, how do you defend against somebody who runs up behind you and punches you in the back of the head, which, by the way, is called a donkey punch? That donkey punch can be fatal, actually, to some people. One of the ways that we can help defend against that is learning how to fall. So often when we fall, we tend to stretch our hands out in front of us, which can unfortunately break our wrists if we're on the street, and that's a really hard punch. So what we can do is practice how to fall. And the way we practice how to fall is the same way that you practice a plank. When we make contact first with the under part of our arm, so meaning the forearm, not the upper arm, of course, and we create a 90 degree angle between the forearm and the upper arm, that gives us a better brace from hitting our head. We want to turn our head to the side instead of keeping our head straight so that we don't break our nose. But that very strong structure that you use if you've ever done a plank is the same thing that can keep your head from hitting the ground really, really, really hard and knocking you out. It's unfortunate that we can't always prevent violence from happening. It's unfortunate that we can't always stop people from doing the crazy ass shit that they do. But what we can do is control how we respond. What we can do is take whatever measures we can to know that we have some agency in what's happening to us. There have been a couple of arrests From these attacks in New York, one of a man who also has a TikTok account that he uses to document his aggression against people, mostly women. But it's not all just one or two men. There are quite a number of men sucker punching random women on the streets of New York at the moment, although a quick Google search shows that this has actually been going on for several years, if not decades, to be honest. Why do they do this? The two men arrested so far have histories of mental illness, aggression, violence, recidivism, and that may be true of the others as well, and it may not. Sometimes in self-defense classes, I do get asked why men do these things or why predators or perpetrators do these things. And from a sociological perspective, it's important to remember that men are often socialized to take their anger and frustration out on women, not because we're helpless or because we're the weaker sex, but because we are not seen as fully human. These are the same people who redirect their anger at a wall or a glass or an animal, but who would never direct that aggression and violence towards a man unless they're pushed to extremes. But from a very personal perspective, why do people do this? I don't know, and I don't care. I personally do not understand this kind of behavior, and frankly, I don't think I ever will. And I think that's a good thing. As I tell my clients when we're in a self-defense course and this comes up, if you don't understand why this happens, congratulations, you're a decent human being. Sometimes it's just not worth the why. You have been listening to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. You can learn more about who we are and what we do and how to find a Pretty Deadly course near you by visiting our website at prettydeadlyselfdefense.com. And if you're a fitness or martial arts pro and you'd like to enhance your instructor skills, our certification programs are open for enrollment and you can find them on our website at prettydeadlypro.com. This podcast is produced by Singe Network for Pretty Deadly, recorded in Berlin, and our original music is the track Icarus Wish by Berlin band Dead Centuries, used with permission of the artist.